Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was and is to come. Amen. Those two disciples on the road said, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped." Those three words carry so much weight, so much finality. It's over. They had hoped. And whatever hope they had is gone. It's dead, buried. We had hoped. You know for yourselves what you would put after those words. You probably don't have to think very hard. Whether it was hopes for a relationship, or a prognosis, a future, a dream that had a name and a shape, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, it didn't anymore. Not because you stopped caring about it, but because, for some reason, you had to fold it up and put it away. You stopped expecting. You stopped asking. The future, the hope, had a funeral. And you were the only one who attended. That's where we find these two disciples this morning as they walk down this road to a town called Emmaus. They're on a road, moving away from Jerusalem, away from everything that had happened there, toward a small town where it's unclear what awaits them. But one thing is certain. What's ahead of them isn't hope. They've left that behind. And as they walk along, a stranger falls in step beside them, and they tell him, "We had hoped that he was the one." Past tense. Hope had a date of death, and it was Friday. They watched it happen. They knew how the story ended because they saw the ending. Here's what strikes me this morning is they had already heard the Sunday morning news. The woman had been to the tomb and they came back saying it was empty, that there were angels, a message, Jesus was risen. And it didn't work. Not because the women were wrong, they weren't. Not because the news wasn't true, it was. But information about resurrection, it turns out, is not the same thing as encountering the risen Christ. You can know the right things, have heard the testimony, even wonder if it's just a little bit true, and still find yourself on the road to Emmaus, moving away, hope already buried. And what brings these two back isn't more information. It's not a better, stronger, more fleshed out argument. It isn't even them summoning within themselves the strength to rekindle what they'd let go. It's just Jesus showing up uninvited, walking with them the direction they're walking. He doesn't wait for them to turn around. He doesn't require them to have held on just a little longer, believed just a little harder. He goes to them, falls into step on a road going nowhere in particular, and he stays with them. He opens up the scriptures, walks through everything, and still they don't quite recognize him. Not yet. But later, they'll say their hearts were burning. Something was happening and they couldn't quite name it. It's not until they sit down together, until he takes the bread and breaks it, that they see him. And the moment they see him, he's gone, but so is everything else. The past tense, the closed door, the buried hope. And then they don't walk back to Jerusalem, they run. Because they've been fed and nurtured and joined to Jesus' resurrected life. Not because of anything they did or finally figured out, but because Jesus came looking for them. That's what he does. He goes looking down the wrong roads after people who have already stopped expecting him. He goes into the places where hope has already been buried. He goes to find us, all of us, in one way or another. And in just a few moments, we'll get to do what those disciples did. You'll come to this table, bread will be broken, and the one who walked uninvited down that road will come for you. The one who opened scriptures and stayed for dinner and showed up in the breaking of the bread, that same Jesus will show up here for you, even if you have doubts, even if you don't know what you believe, even if you feel like your hope has died. Jesus will come here for you and give himself to you. That's what he does. Amen.